are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeder.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated...
It is Monday, January 4th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, a recap of what happened during our brief vacation and a look forward into the year 2016. Over the past couple of weeks, Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old, killed by Cleveland police as they rode up on him as he was standing with a toy gun, jumped out of his car, and within 2 seconds had shot him dead. Received no indictment from a grand jury in Cleveland. Basically a whitewash for a prosecutor who did not want to bring charges against cops that he works with on a daily basis. Meanwhile, in Oregon, right-wing, I don't know what else to call them, but terrorists, by the definition of the word, armed, take over a federal building in a wildlife reserve. But even terrorists can be stupid, folks. Put out a plea this morning for snacks and supplies. Because these survivalist patriots, not so survivalist. But boy, do they hate people who are not white.
If you can get us some granola bars, we will hold it down.
Meanwhile, what is looking like a greater environmental disaster than BP continues and will continue unabated. In Porter Ranch, California, a disaster which could, well, has already cost nearly 2,500 families their homes, at least temporarily, but also probably the retirements of thousands, the future of thousands. And it, like I say, it continues unabated. In Saudi Arabia, 40-some-odd Al-Qaeda prisoners were executed, in addition to 4 Shia civil rights activists. On the campaign trail, Bernie Sanders making gains amongst the most important demographic he needs. On the Republican side, Trump still rules the roost. Bill Cosby finally held to account. Texas starts the new year with an open carry law, which Texas open carry is live. The first victim, gun violence there is not. Meanwhile, Obama, too, announced a federal or executive orders to deal with some measures of gun control. We'll find out what that'll be. We've got a couple of more. Scalia, Sheldon Adelson in the news. I'm going to go through a bunch of these stories. I don't know how many of them will make it into the free half of the program. This is just a way for all of us to catch up after what was, for me, one of the worst vacations I've ever had in my life.
You were texting me with just these horrifying updates.
It was pretty bad. And we'll go through that on the fun half of the program. Although I will tell you that over the course of the past, I guess it was 10 days, pink eye, pneumonia, vomiting in cars, death of cars, multiple fevers in the family, illness, and I would put somewhere around the, like on the fun meter, somewhere around zero. But just about everybody is fully recovered from our vacation, just in time to go back to work. Those of you who are looking on the Sammy Cam, you will notice that we have basically, I don't know, if it's a six-phase transformation of our video product, I think we're probably on phase five, maybe 4.8. Maybe it's 5.2. Five was, of course, getting the new sets, and it's not just a new set for me. It's a new set for Michael. Michael, say something.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Now, on the video program, you will see that we've actually cut to Michael. He is in a similar background. We'll probably update it. But I should also say that to explain things to those people who are saying, what's going on? Is this part of, yes, this is part of the video presentation. My 2016 resolution was more facial hair and more cold sores on camera. And so I've been able to complete both of those today. Last night I was shaving because I had not shaven for a week and I decided to freak out my kids. This morning when they woke up, it worked. And I'm not just talking about Mila and Saul when they woke up, but just the kids around this office too. Everybody came in, was totally freaked out. I got a mustache and now I'm starting to like it. First, it was just a gag. But over the past like 12 hours, I've become to enjoy it.
You like how unsettling it is for other people?
Yes, I do. And it's a little bit of a throwback because our set is sort of like a 70s, slightly yes. 70s motif. And my mustache, I feel like, is a slightly 70s motif.
Right.
And it almost makes me look like I'm 70.
Yeah. Or you produced a certain type of film in the 70s.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of bow chicka wow wow going on.
That's the YouTube consensus.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
That I look a little bit like an adult film star?
An
producer.
Adult film.
Producer.
Star. Producer. Yeah,
producer.
Right. Well,
yeah, let's
I appreciate
be clear.
That.
All right. Here's the vision. We're going to remake the business. All right.
We'll get to a couple of news stories in a moment, but let me just remind you of ZipRecruiter, folks. I've talked about ZipRecruiter before. Are you hiring but not sure where to find the best candidates? As a business owner, I can tell you that your company is only as good as the people you hire. And in some instances, you have to make such good hires that they make up for some bad hires. I'm not gonna name any names. I can also tell you that posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. But I do know for a fact that when you're short-staffed, there's no time to deal with dozens of different job sites until now. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, I can post to 100-plus job sites with a single click and be instantly matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Just post once, and within 24 hours, watch your candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. ZipRecruiter's been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now for free. Folks, getting the right people for your company is so important. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you do a podcast, YouTube show, or I don't know, you sell coffee or something online or even offline. It doesn't matter. And the best time to look for employees is, frankly, when you don't need to hire one. I went through this, whatever it was it 4 or 5 months ago? I think we've just now recovered. But old Matt gives me 2 weeks' notice, and I freak out. And if I had already started the process, something like ZipRecruiter, it would have been far less traumatic. Try ZipRecruiter. Get your perfect candidate before they go to someone else. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/majority. The best time to check this site out is when you don't need to hire somebody and you just want to see how this works. And so how you would go about it, who you would look for, etc. Check it out today. Also, one thing I want to do before we go into a couple stories here. The Tamir Rice thing was so disgusting. And, you know, I was doing my best to stay off of Twitter, doing my best to stay off of the news, but it was really upsetting. But we'll get into that in a moment. Just want to say, you know, and I think I said this at the end of the year, but and I say this not nearly enough, but it is the members, obviously, that make this show work. And I don't thank them enough. And so one thing I thought that might be fun, and it's not a thank you to them, but it's a shout out to at least some of them, is because I never feel comfortable using people's names because I never know who wants to. And, you know, obviously I see the names of members and, you know, sometimes it's people who I recognize their names because they're friends, or I recognize their names because I've read their stuff or they work somewhere. And I never know who wants to do that. So I don't say names. But what I'm going to start doing is just grab locations, not of everybody, but of some. So over the past 2 weeks, we've got members from San Diego, California, Chicago, Illinois, Brooklyn, New York. They could actually just come by and watch the show, but I guess it's more convenient for them to. Walla Walla, Washington. I don't know.
I think there's a good college in Walla Walla.
I had a cousin play baseball, minor league baseball for Walla Walla.
All right. Cool. Maybe.
Nice town.
Russellville, Missouri. Nothing from
you
the
have a cousin game? Occupy a federal building over
now,
there or something, Matt?
Here's something I can't. Belfast. It was Belfast. Down United Kingdom. I don't know what that means. But I assume it's just Belfast, right? I mean, it's
Belfast down.
Yeah, like I don't know what the down is. I don't know. We just see the I mean, maybe they put in a fake address. Anchorage, Alaska. And then Hilo, Hawaii.
That's great.
So keep it coming in. Help support the program. Of course, it's only possible with your help. And justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. A lot of people bought coffee for the holidays, and a lot of people got some nice gifts, I think. All right, let's just go over this Tamir Rice thing. I'm sure people are quite familiar with what happened. We certainly talked about the Tamir Rice situation when it happened. You've seen the video. 12-year-old boy out there playing with a pellet gun. The cops ride literally almost on top of him. I mean, it was almost sort of surprising they didn't literally run him over. Jumped out of the car, and before the kid was even aware of what was going on, he was shot dead. Well, a week ago now, a grand jury declined to indict the two Cleveland cops who were involved in the shooting. The Cuyahoga County prosecutor, Timothy McGinty, announced and really basically justified the lack of indictment. I mean, there was a lot of cowardice involved in this Timothy McGinty move. Clearly using the grand jury as a way of making sure these cops were not indicted at arm's length. He agreed with the decision. He admitted that he recommended to the grand jury that it not indict the officers, which is, I mean, it's almost inconceivable. A grand jury goes in there and the guy who's in charge of prosecuting people says, there's nothing here. Well, in that case, I don't even know why you bring together a grand jury but for the whitewashing. He commissioned reports that basically said these cops were not guilty and then leaked it to the media. And he claims, essentially, he said, we're instructed to ask what a reasonable police officer with the knowledge he had would do in this particular situation. And this is what, where you know the fix is in. If you are 2 feet away from someone who you don't know if they are, you don't know what age they are, you can't tell what the gun is, and you've only been in that situation for literally a half a second, is it reasonable for you as a police officer to shoot? Well, at least arguable. Because that's where they basically start holding the cop accountable. Not when they're 100 yards away or 100 feet away, or in their car, or seeing the kid from a distance, right? Only in those 2 seconds are they holding the cops accountable for their decision-making. And their assessment that they were in some type of imminent danger. Because at 100 yards away, of course they're not in any imminent danger. There's no other people around, so there's no reason to believe that anybody else is in imminent danger. They could have stopped 100 feet away, 50 feet away, opened up their car doors, gotten behind the car doors, said, drop the gun. But they're not held accountable for that at all. And apparently no one is held accountable for the fact that the cop who killed Tamir Rice quit the police force of Independence, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cleveland, just days after basically got wind of the fact that he was going to get fired from that police force because he was unfit for duty, because he was a nut job. That's not a clinical term. Then McGinty went on to say that because Tamir Rice looked older than a 12-year-old, somehow this was justified. Let me remind you, this is an open carry state. The idea that a white 25-year-old standing there with a gun would have had zero chance to put that gun down. Because that's how much of a chance Tamir Rice had to save his life, 0%. No chance. The idea that a 25-year-old white guy, I don't care if Tamir Rice looked like he was 75. The idea that a 25-year-old white guy wouldn't have had the chance to put down his weapon is absurd. No one believes that. The idea that the cop, in making that, even just if you look at this even from arm's length, the idea that the cop is not even held accountable for a tactical decision, in other words, pulling up right in front of the kid and giving himself no choice, even on the, I'm being the this is the most generous perspective on this, giving himself no choice but to shoot this 12-year-old boy. That the cop is not going to be held criminally liable for that. Manslaughter, even. It's just obscene. It's just obscene. It's just another example of, I mean, again, it's just another example. It's just impossible to imagine what a parent of a black kid, especially a boy, must go through. Or what a 17-year-old or 15-year-old or apparently 12-year-old, 25-year-old, older, we've seen it. I mean, black person has to have in the back of their mind at any given time when they're out and about in society or if they're a professor from Harvard trying to get into their home. McGinty apparently also raised the fact that the police probably had it on their mind, the other shootings that had taken place in that locale, which apparently were back in 2006 and 1996. Just absurd. Just really absurd. 2 seconds after exiting his police car, Tamir Rice is dead. A state judge ruled that there was probable cause to charge the officer. This is just a reminder of the facts that we know. Neither officer administered any first aid to Rice after he was shot. They just sat there 4 minutes. Here's what's also incredibly damning in terms of McGinty. The officers refused to testify. Okay, that's fine. You don't testify, that's your right. But they were allowed to submit written statements. So in other words, they were allowed to testify, but in a way that they had total preparation and no opportunity for any type of cross-examination. The idea that there's a defendant anywhere, in any case, that couldn't get off, couldn't be prevented from being indicted, if they had the opportunity to provide just their side of the story with no questions asked, it's just absurd. It's just absurd. I don't know if the Justice Department has come out with anything yet. Have they? But hopefully we'll see something. I just don't know how we can function in a society where there's no accountability for something like this, that it's just one of those chalk it up to piss poor luck for the kid. Shouldn't have been born black. That's basically it. Really horrible. And, you know, there was a, just as a sidebar, it's a piece in the Washington Post over the past couple of weeks. I think I have it here in my stack. This war on cops that is supposedly making the police officers so sensitive because of all the protesting. There were 42 fatal shootings of police officers in 2015, down 14% from 2014. 124 officers were killed in the line of duty this year. More than a third of those deaths were due to traffic accidents, which was the largest single cause of officer fatalities. 30 other officers died of a variety of other causes, including job-related illnesses. 2015 is on track to be the second safest year for police officers in history. 0.1112 gun-related police deaths per 1 million population. Only 2013 was safer. Obviously, if you're a police officer and you're out there doing your job, you're not thinking about that stat. But the idea that you're thinking of the opposite also, it shouldn't be true. We're training police officers to think that their number one job is to make sure that there's no threats to them whatsoever, to eliminate all threats, as opposed to protect the community. And prosecutors are clearly not doing anything to hold cops to account, and that's the problem. That's the big problem. All right, let's talk about these morons that are up in Oregon, apparently. These I don't know. I don't know if it's fair to call them all white supremacists, but certainly some of them, I think, would certainly wear that that moniker with pride. So you've got in a you've got a group of men. Do we know how many people there are? They were supposedly 150 at first. It turns out there's probably closer to like 25. But it's a militia. I don't know if they've named themselves yet. It's a marauding band of morons, armed to the teeth, led by Ayman Bundy, whose dad, Cliven Bundy, is that famous racist who wanted to steal money from taxpayers by using our federally owned land, the American taxpayer-owned land, to make money off it and not pay any royalties. And his son has decided that he's going to go to Oregon with some other morons and take over a federal wildlife refuge building in Oregon. And I don't know what they're going to do there. Apparently, they're going to create their own community and invite people to come and stay with them. Some type of, I don't know, I guess bed and breakfast for idiots. And it's very appropriate in a way. They should charge money so that they could really, really make it clear and illustrate to people why they're even protesting. Now, ostensibly, it has to do with this case of two arsonists who have been lighting on fire your land and my land out west there. But let's put that aside. Because their own stated goals are to make sure that their friends, who are ranchers, I guess, and loggers, get to use our land, taxpayer-owned land, to subsidize their own profits for free. And so if they were to open up like a bed and breakfast there, if they were to open up a bed and breakfast in that wildlife reserve headquarters and charge money for it, it would make it clear exactly what they want. They want our taxpayer dollars to subsidize their profits. So in their minds, they're liberating this building from the clutches of a tyrannical federal government. And they're going to liberate that capital that exists there, that common good, whether it's a building or natural resources, and they're going to allow their friends to profit off it, because those are the true Americans, the ones that they like, who make their money through exploiting our assets. They might as well take this whole show and post it to their YouTube channel too. They'd be stealing just a little bit from me. But I guess that's not even the proper metaphor, because they're stealing a little bit from everybody. So who are these proud armed patriots who are now apparently tweeting out requests for supplies? Attention, Blaine Cooper writes on Thursday of last week, share, attention, share. Anyone that wants to send supplies can send them to General Mail, John Reitzheimer or Blaine Cooper in Burns, Oregon, 97720. I wonder who's going to deliver that. Is it going to be the tyrannical federal government and their tyrannical postal service?
Barack Obama's Muslim postal service. Yeah.
Like, we do not stand for fame or fortune. We do this for our children and for their freedom. We do this for your children and their freedom. We don't want your money. If you have supplies or snacks or anything that may be useful to this stand, then please send them to the address above.
We can bring this country back to its historical and constitutional founding if you could find it in yourself to send us some Jolly Ranchers to sustain us on this journey. Imagine Al-Qaeda guys being like, if you could send us some ramen, surely we will beat the great Satan.
Unbelievable.
So pathetic. Even on its own terms. Come on, man. That's not a federal takeover.
Unbelievable. So people are sending them stuff like gay Doritos and... All right, here is the backgrounder on the original case that ostensibly set off the peaceful protest and this peaceful occupation where guns are brought into the mix. Just like Gandhi did.
Strapped and ready. Ready to go, okay?
Lock and load.
Lock and load. Freedom.
All right.
Freedom is coming from gun, okay, yeah?
Now, ostensibly, this started over a protest about the Hammonds. Hammonds were two guys, a father and son. One is, I think, 40s. The other one's in his early 70s. The Hammonds were charged and convicted in federal district court several years ago of two counts of arson on federal land. Now, arson on federal land carries a 5-year mandatory minimum. They were convicted in one incident of starting a fire to hide evidence of their illegal poaching. And they apparently enlisted one of their teenage relatives to set the fire. In the other incident, the Hammonds set a fire to apparently get rid of juniper and weeds. Juniper is problematic because it sucks water out of the soil, and weeds make it harder on their grazing for their animals. But the federal government had put out a notice: do not start any fires because we already have federal firefighters working on another fire. And we didn't want new fires out there, which could potentially endanger federal firefighters. Well, they did it anyways. And apparently, it spread onto federal land. Well, When this went to trial, Judge Michael Hogan, who was the federal district judge, apparently a bit of a patriot himself, and I use that in quotes, one of those patriots who believes that the Bureau of Land Management is a tyrannical body, ruled that the mandatory minimum sentencing was unconstitutional as applied to these Hammonds and sentenced them to much shorter sentences. So the Hammonds get out of jail. Sometime after the Hammonds get out of jail on this shortened sentence, the Ninth Circuit ruled that Judge Hogan erred and that the mandatory minimum is not unconstitutional as it was applied to these two arsonists, and ordered Hogan, the initial judge, to resentence them to at least 5 years. So they were basically sent back to jail. And that's when these protests started. And the protests are fine. You want to protest, that's all well and good. You want to occupy a federal building? I got no problem with that either. I'm all in favor of occupying a federal building. But when you do it with guns, you are necessarily taking it over violently. Necessarily. When you bring weapons of any sorts, I don't care if it's axes or knives or smoke bombs or whatnot, you are taking it over violently. And you are doing so, expressly in this case, to get the government to do something different politically. That is, as far as I know, the FBI definition of terrorism. And apparently the FBI is now monitoring the situation. I don't think they should go in there and shoot these guys up, because then you've got these martyrs. Apparently, I don't know if these guys think they go to like some type of like heaven where there's like 72 virgins all with semi-automatic weapons and beer koozies.
And a new truck.
And a new truck.
Two new trucks, mate.
All right, let's listen
to...
You know,
what happened is that at a certain point, like, we could not sustain ourselves because of a critical lack of granola bars. We will... lay down our arms. We have lost the battle, but the greater war endures.
Well, just to give you a sense of who these people are, let's listen to to 1 minute of a guy named John Ritzheimer. He released a 13-minute dispatch from the Oregon siege. And let's just listen to what he says it takes to do something like this, before we listen to something else he put out just a month ago.
I've gone out and met the people of Harney County. Been out here trying to win the hearts and minds while all these slander, nasty campaigns going on, trying to say that we're out here harassing the citizens. We're following people, parking at their house. Does that even make sense? That I would come up here, I would miss Christmas with my family, miss weeks on end with the to be with them, to come up here just to harass people in Oregon while I'm up here trying to win the hearts and minds of these people? The success of us as a nation depends on us uniting as people. I do not want to drive you off. We need real men here. Men and women, Americans, who have the intestinal fortitude to come here and take a stand and say enough is enough.
Now, let's give them some kudos for the feminist perspective. Real men. Fake women are okay, according to him. And just in case you're wondering... what he means by Americans. Let's hear John Reitzheimer, who gave up his Christmas with his family. Does that make any sense, according to him? As if the idea of occupying with weapons a wildlife reserve in Oregon makes any sense. Here he is, just at the end of November, right around Thanksgiving. I guess maybe he was taking time off from Thanksgiving, too, from his family. In this instance, it wasn't to stop the tyranny of the U.S. government. It was for something else.
What's up, America? John Reitzheimer here with my brother Tyler, one of my old high school brothers right here. And we're driving all the way across America, all the way to New York, to go see those assholes at the Islamic Post that decided to publish a paper calling me, a terrorist in this country. You Muslims, fuck all of you. We're gonna stop at virtually every mosque on the way, take a picture, flipping them off, telling them to get fucked. And Obama, you stupid sorry sack of shit, you want to come out and say that we're all afraid of these poor little three-year-old orphans and these widows? Fuck you. That is not what's coming over here. And you know what? I'm not afraid. I fear for my family's safety, but I'm not afraid because these guys are cowards, and they show time and time again, they do not come and attack hard targets. Well, guess what? We're fucking ready for them. Bring it on, you Muslim fucks. You want to come around in our country? We're ready for you. So I'm not afraid. I'm urging all Americans across the U.S., everywhere in public, start carrying a slung rifle with you, everywhere. Don't be a victim in your own country. You, Obama.
That's what I guess you call a constitutionalist.
Could we drop some music from like an Obama reelect ad underneath that, like the for like the unity message that carries, like some type of like surging America music? Well, you're just like, F you, Muslims, F you, Obama, everybody should carry a gun, and it just like surges up. I guess if you don't think Muslims are American, there's no contradiction there.
That's right. That's right. I guess that is, I mean, to be fair to that nativist bigot. Right.
Talking about white non-Jew unity. He's probably not so hot on Jews either.
My guess is he probably wouldn't be.
I don't think Jews are top on the list, but they're annoying.
Yeah.
They're there.
We'll take your phone call, 646-257-3920. We're going to head in, I guess, into fun half of the program. What's that?
My brother Tyler. That's my favorite part of
the clip. I'm here with my buddy Tyler, high school brother.
I like that he corrects. He doesn't say testicular fortitude. He says intestinal. And I think they are kind of like slowly being domesticated and they don't realize it. Like,
right. He's losing it.
Well, I can't wait until there's another group that comes out about the wussification of this group.
That guy can't even say testicular fortitude on a frigging YouTube video. Well, where is this country going?
Wait a second. Why does he need women up there to fight his fight?
Yeah. Yeah. You eating like tofu when you're out with your open carry assault rifle, you freaking loser?
I like how this guy shaves his head like some type of metrosexual.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they don't
put
have any
food. Put some shea butter on there while you're at it, you friggin' homo.
Yeah, maybe for some reason he spent too much time up in New York City. Maybe you shouldn't have gone up to Jew York and spent so much
maybe
time
on your
there.
Way to flipping off the mosque, you stopped and you got yourself a nice facial up there.
Right.
Yeah.
How's your manicure?
Be a man.
Maybe you've been eating too much of those gay Doritos that people have been sending you up in your mountain redoubt.
You know, I would send him gray Doritos to mock him, but he'd probably like it. This is what will end the siege, putting out like immature homophobic videos that freak these guys out so much. Like,
all right, let's just play one more video, one more audio. So Amon Bundy. Amon. Amon. he released a video on January 1st.
Did you get to that name at the same place that you got your pedicure, bro?
Hey. How about a man's? Almond. That one's so stupid. Almond is explaining one of his anti-tyranny letters and responds to a statement made by the Oath Keeper founder, Stuart Rhodes, who apparently was saying, like, look, this is stupid. Why are you doing this? The Hammond family does not want... I mean, yes, you've got idiots arguing with idiots. Here's a little taste.
And I could not sleep, so I studied all through the night. And this motivation to find out about the Hammonds, to learn more, and I read every article I could read. I read part of the court proceedings and everything I could get my hands on, I read through the night. And then that next morning, I felt this urge again, this desire to begin to write. I knew I was supposed to write something.
Pause it. Now, the amount of nights where I'm up all night sitting at my computer just noodling around on the web, you know, it's I'd say it's 50% of the time. I'll come in the next day and I'm like, it was a religious experience. I was up all night and I found out about this story or this miracle cure for, or the thing that there's actually a process to restore your hair, and they won't tell you about the male pattern baldness.
No, it would still be you. I found this thing on Social Security. Yes! That no one else has seen before.
Did you realize there was actually 4 scenarios the trustees go through, not 3. There's a secret 4th scenario. And that has actually 18% more accuracy than the one that they announce. And that's when I saw the apparition at the bottom of my bed, and it came to me. It was one of the late Social Security trustees.
And he said, talk about this on the air tomorrow and grow a mustache.
Yes. And then see if you can submit a 400-word piece to the New Republic and get it posted on their weekly blog. And that's why
your demented religious visions are all totally plausible.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, sure, yeah, that could happen.
But this guy, he reads about the Hammonds and realizes.
And so, but my emotion about the Hammonds after I saw what was happening and found that they were, what was happening to them was the same thing that happened to us. So my emotions were clouding my thoughts, and I was trying to get my thoughts straight so I could write. And I got on my knees and I asked the Lord and said, Lord, if you want me to write something, then please help me clear my mind and show me what I should write. And that's what happened. In a short period of time, my mind was clear and I was able to write. And I wrote that letter to individuals and to government officials. And that was the first one. And during that letter, I began to understand how the Lord felt about the Hammonds. I began to understand about how the Lord felt about Harney County and about this country. And I clearly understood that the Lord was not pleased with what was happening to the Hammonds. And that what was happening to them, if it was not corrected, would be a type and a shadow of what would happen to the rest of the people across this country.
I have a confession to make, ladies and gentlemen. Last night I was up all night and reading about Amon Bundy. And I came into work today. I was a little bit late. And I said, oh, God, I was starting to panic. I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to talk about? It's been a week. I'm rusty. I've lost track of the news. And I got down on my knees. And I say, God, tell me what to say about Amon Bundy. Guide my voice.
just play
later in the program
a clip of him and mock him.
And I heard, in fact, I can almost hear it in my mind now, God saying it now, play a clip of him and mock him.
Insinuate that him and his friends are CC men who have weird metrosexual tendencies. Call it a day. Pretty
it
easy.
It was weird. God said to me,
clip
insinuate.
It on YouTube. It'll do all right.
That they were sissy men. And clip it for YouTube. And it'll do all right.
Trump is still doing well. Keep going to the main cash cow while it lasts. God, I got to spell this out for you.
But
no pun intended.
But I've got to change gears and talk about Donald Trump. So we're going to go to the fun half.
Let Michael do more Ben Carson, for God's sake. There's only so much longer that guy's going to be around.
We may do some Ben Carson later in the program.
The video will still do fairly well.
All right, enough, God. I get it.
You get on your knees, you get feedback.
646-257-3920. 646-257-3920. The IM is Majority FM. You can IM us through the app. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got more stuff coming in 2016. We will be announcing it as the days go on, but we'll take a quick break. Be right back.